May God bless each of us here today with His mercy, love, truth, and blessing. It's good to have the visitors present, and we are looking for a message from God's Word and from His Spirit. What is your understanding of the word truth? What does it mean to you? The title of the message is in the form of a question. What is truth? Do you believe there is such a thing as absolute truth? Truth that applies in all times, in all cultures, and for all people. A recent Barna Research Group survey on what Americans believe asked the question, is there absolute truth? 66%, that's two-thirds of all adults, responded that they believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Different people can define truth in conflicting ways and still be correct. The answer that there is no such thing as absolute truth was even more pronounced among young adults. 72% of those aged 18 to 25 expressed this belief. In a recent series of more than 20 interviews conducted at random at a large university, people were asked if there was such a thing as absolute truth, truth that is true across all times and cultures for all people. 19 of the 20 respondents answered along these lines. Truth is whatever you believe. There is no absolute truth. If there were such a thing as absolute truth, how could we know what it is? People who believe in absolute truth are dangerous. The lone exception was an evangelical Christian who said absolute truth was in Jesus Christ. The poet Steve Turner wrote a parody about the rejection of truth and called it Creed. Part of it goes like this. I believe that each man must find the truth that is right for him. Reality will adapt accordingly. The universe will readjust. History will alter. I believe that there is no absolute truth, accepting the truth that there is no absolute truth. Did I lose you? Ironically, the poet was making a point by illustrating how ridiculous it is to say there is no absolute truth. The absurd idea contradicts itself. To make the statement that there is no absolute truth is to assert that the statement is true. But it can't be, because they are claiming in the statement that there is no absolute truth. So they contradict themselves and don't even realize it. Ironically enough, there are those who claim there is no such thing as absolute truth, and yet they make decisions every day on the basis that they believe some things are true and some things are false. We all do that. I do not turn on a light switch unless I believe in the reality of electricity. I do not jump in my car and turn the key unless I believe in the effectiveness of the combustion engine. No one would board a jet plane without believing in the accuracy of the instruments. Would you want to undergo surgery and be operated on by a surgeon who did not believe that some things about the human body are true and some things are false. And yet, when it comes to the most important issues of life, is there a God? Why are we here? Are we responsible to God? And will we have to answer to Him for our deeds done in the body, and will that affect our eternal destiny? They say, we can't know. It doesn't matter. Figuring out something that works for me is all that many people think is necessary. Not long ago, the popular column, Dear Abby, addressed the issue of family quarrels over religion. And a reader responded back and told Abby, your answer to the woman who complained that her relatives were always arguing with her about religion was ridiculous. You advise her to simply declare the subject off limits. Are you suggesting that people talk only about trivial, meaningless subjects so as to avoid a potential controversy? It is arrogant to tell people there are subjects they may not mention in your presence. You could have suggested she learn enough about her relative's cult to show them the errors contained in its teachings. In response, Abby wrote this, in my view, the height of arrogance is to attempt to show people the errors in the religion of their choice. In today's culture, to suggest that you might be right about your beliefs and others might be wrong is about the greatest offense one could commit. Case in point, when Chick-fil-A's Dan Cathy came out in support of traditional marriage as the union of one man and one woman, governmental officials were up in arms from three cities, and they said they would ban Chick-fil-A from opening restaurants in their municipalities. As a guest on a syndicated radio talk show, Cathy said he supported the biblical definition of marriage as one man and one woman. He was, in essence, repeating the truth found in God's Word, and supporters of the gay lifestyle reacted to that statement of truth that carried the implication that anything other than God's way is unacceptable. In our communities here, southeastern Pennsylvania, we may be experiencing more of a stable society than the mainstream. But by and large, the previous information and the surveys that I shared with you is fairly typical of the Western world. There is no absolute truth. Some of the contributing factors to the decline of faith in American society can maybe be attributed to institutions of learning, the news media, and the subtle indoctrination of entertainment and music. But it goes deeper than that. What can we learn about truth from the source of truth, God Himself? So let us ask the question again, what is truth? And we first of all want to consider the meaning of truth. The Greek word for truth is used about 100 times in the New Testament. Vine's Expository Dictionary defines truth as the reality lying at the basis of an appearance, the manifested, veritable essence of a matter. Simply stated, truth is verity or reality, the way things really are. You know, it's so easy for me, and I think you can relate to this, to draw wrong conclusions about many things in life and think, well, that's the way things really are. I know how to readjust my opinions many times. When I found out the truth, rather than what I thought was the truth, based upon my perceptions, based upon what people said or did. What, when that happens, you know, when we draw those wrong conclusions, there is an element of bondage. Anywhere from marginal to extensive, the process of misinterpretation of surroundings, events, statements, and actions is Satan's specialty. Promoting untrue thoughts, lies, that often masquerade as the truth or reality. But how can we know the difference between truth and error? That which seems so real, but turns out to be erroneous. How do we know the difference? That's why we all need to be in the Word. It is so, so important in a society that is hurtling into the abyss of relativism. Relativism claims that a person's point of view has that no absolute truth or validity, and it cannot be imposed upon others. From Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God proclaims that we can know the truth about God because He has made Himself known to us. He is indeed the creator of the vast universe in which we live, on just a small speck called the planet Earth. And obviously, He is infinitely greater than our puny minds can even begin to comprehend. Something more is needed than our limited reasoning and ability to arrive at the conclusion of truth. And people face God and put their fist in His face when they think they can do it. The Bible is a book about what is really real and truly true. Accurate doctrine is certainly included in what is truth, but there is more involved in understanding truth. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth," reality, "and reality will make you free." As believers, we need to have more than a mental acknowledgement of the truth. We need to have a relationship with the truth, lest we be swept along, right along with the rest of society, who are convinced that they are headed in the right direction. The mindset of relativism, there is no absolute truth that can be imposed upon others, I fear, is beginning to creep into the church. The flag, the red flag, labeled relativism, pops up when I hear the following statement. Well, that's just your interpretation of Scripture. I don't really think it means what you're claiming. I believe it's saying something else. Did you ever hear that kind of dialogue? You know, there's a place for comparing Scripture with Scripture to arrive at correct interpretation. There is a place to be like the Bereans, receiving the Word with all readiness or willingness of mind, and searching the Scriptures to see if what is taught and preached is true. There's a place for that. But to say that's just your interpretation may very well be revealing a heart condition of unwillingness to obey the word. Many times, because of personal preference, or I'll do what I want to do, we need to rely on more than our emotions, our intellect, and our will. They alone can steer us in a seemingly right direction that turns out to be all wrong. The key is spiritual perception. And how do we get that? John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's divine interpretation, divine direction. If the Holy Spirit is involved in interpretation, I propose there will be agreement. There has to be. He cannot contradict himself. We considered the meaning of truth. Secondly, let's think about knowing the truth. Knowing the truth extends beyond simply having intellectual activity or mental awareness of the facts. Knowing the truth indicates a relationship between the person knowing and the information known. What is known is of value and of importance to the one who knows, to the extent that there is a relationship established. Let me explain. That relationship is one of appreciation, approval, and application. I found it interesting that the idea of knowing in the Bible is also used to indicate the intimate union between man and wife. For example, Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son. In this sense, there was a physical relationship conveyed in the word knew. So it is in knowing the truth. There is a relationship, a spiritual relationship. There is more involved than simply knowing the facts or understanding correct Bible doctrine. The person who knows the truth has a relationship with the truth. One of the ironies of history is when Pilate asked Jesus at his trial, "What is truth?" The one who was and is the embodiment of truth was standing right there in front of him. However, Pilate was unwilling to face the implications of the words of Jesus. John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answers, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto what? The truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Since Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," the person who knows the truth knows the embodiment of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. That person has a relationship with truth. And that relationship encompasses all areas. It encompasses all thoughts, all beliefs, and all perceptions. Let's consider an illustration of what happens when we come to our own conclusions about truth instead of accepting God's truth. And this may be oversimplified, but I think it'll illustrate a point. Which way am I stepping right now? I hear one person say, down. Which way am I stepping right now? Backwards and up. Okay, that's good. Now, how about if we would all vote that we're going to take a vote if this pulpit is higher than the seats that you are sitting on? Okay, so we all vote. And everyone here votes that the pulpit is lower than the seats. Everybody, it's a unanimous vote. Everybody votes, and the pulpit now is lower than the seats. All that demonstrates is that we're not very bright. It was unanimous, but what did it prove? Any amount of mental gymnastics and philosophical debate is fruitless when it comes to the truth. You cannot change the truth. If God says it is that way, it is that way. Not very profound, is it? In fact, it's very simple. And God made it that way. All it takes is a simple faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. How would you feel? Pick out someone that you love and respect. If all of a sudden that person would not believe anything you said anymore, they doubted everything you said, would you be appreciative of that person? So it is with God when there are people who do not believe what he says, even though he's saying the truth. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And yet, 2/3 of all Americans don't believe the truth. And I wonder, that's only a survey result. What are the actual numbers? But it doesn't matter. If you or I or they agree with the truth or not, if God said it, it's reality, it's truth, and that's the way things are. It doesn't matter how much I dialogue and debate, nothing I say will become truth because I said it. Truth exists on its own, and it does not need my cooperation or agreement. Neither can I change the truth. Truth is not what feels right. Truth is not what the majority thinks. Truth does not change because I change. It existed before I got here, and all I can do is agree with the truth. It is the truth because it is what God says. No ifs, ands, or buts. We considered the meaning of truth and knowing truth. Let's now look at the freedom in truth. John 8:31, and said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Later in the chapter, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's God's exclamation point. There is freedom here, and he's proclaiming it. It's free to all. The person Jesus is describing here is a person who has a relationship with truth. And when that relationship encompasses all areas of his life, including thoughts, beliefs, perceptions, actions, he will experience freedom. True freedom, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. When you know the truth will make you free. When you know reality, reality will make you free. Much of the bondage, turmoil, and unhappiness of God's people today comes from believing that which is not true, which is not reality. It happens when every thought is not brought into subjection to Christ, who is the truth. I am often amazed at statements people make that they believe, yet have no valid basis or substance. They are based upon perceptions, and perceptions can be misinterpreted. But as long as those erroneous ideas are believed, there will be lack of freedom if God's word is true. People think this about me, and then they'll run off a rail. I'm not appreciated. No one likes me. If I don't look, I'll miss out on seeing something beautiful. It could be enjoyable. I will be denied things in life if I don't try some of those so-called forbidden things. But what happens when we accept, when we participate? Guilt, doubt, and fear follow. What happens when someone has guilt, doubt, and fear? They have turmoil in their emotions and in their mind and in their heart. And that turmoil of negative thoughts going around and around creates emotional, mental, and spiritual stress, depletion of energy and joy. Most of all, there's lack of freedom. On a wider scale, those who willfully practice outright sin often proceed through a series of justifications which are not true, but are accepted by the person as his own version of truth. But it only leads to bondage. Jesus answered them in John 8:34, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly," as emphasis, "I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." That person places themselves in bondage. That's where we are in this country. And if we are not on guard and in the Word, the church will be headed to the same prison of bondage. The following words of our beloved national anthem are no longer true in many aspects. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'm afraid the opposite exists today. We are in a country that is in bondage to sin, deep sin. And may I add, we are in a denomination that an ever-increasing number of members, including the top of the authority structure, is in bondage to deep sin. In John 8:34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Man is inclined to think freedom as being able to do whatever he wants and believe whatever he wants to believe. Is that true? If I would take a vote, we took another vote earlier, but if I would take a vote, mentally we would say, no, that's not true. But practically, and the reason I know this is because I struggle with it. How often do we believe that lie, that I will experience freedom and enjoyment if only I could just do this or that? But it ends up taking us into bondage. Because whosoever practices sin is a servant of sin. A servant is in bondage. At 8 o'clock a.m. on October 17th, 1969, Montreal police went on strike. What effect did this newfound freedom have upon the population? Was it good that everyone could do what they now wanted to do and not be stopped? What do you think took place? Freedom or chaos? There were no police to worry about. They were on strike. No speeding tickets. What fun, what freedom. One reporter called it almost a carnival atmosphere. But that was short-lived. Soon there were serious traffic accidents. By 11:20 a.m., the first bank was robbed. By noon, most downtown stores had closed because of looting. Within a few more hours, taxi drivers burned down the garage of a limousine service that competed with them for airport customers. A rooftop sniper killed a provincial police officer. Rioters broke into several hotels and restaurants, and a doctor slew a burglar in his suburban home. By the end of the day, 6 banks had been robbed, 100 shops had been looted, 12 fires had been set, 40 carloads of storefront glass had been broken, and $3 million in property damage had been inflicted before city authorities had to call in the army and the police mounties to restore order. Freedom is not believing and doing what you want. It's a lie. Freedom is knowing and doing the truth. And that's the truth. Knowing the truth comes from staying in the Word. If ye continue in my words. John 8:31 and 32. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.